Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Glory to God. Glory to God. I want to talk to you tonight and finish up a message I began last Wednesday entitled, Faith Takes a Licking and Keeps on Ticking. Faith takes a licking and keeps on ticking. Hallelujah. We went to 2 Peter chapter 1. It's in the New Testament, close to the back. 2 Peter chapter 1. Amen. When you get there, say amen. 2 Peter chapter 1. And as you're finding your place there, we talked about, and really, I thought about a Timex watch. That was its old slogan. Timex takes a licking and keeps on ticking. And it gave, I remember years ago when I was younger, that it had a commercial with like a desolate nuclear explosion had taken place. And everywhere you looked was desolation, but there was a Timex and it kept on ticking. And I want you to know that's the way your faith needs to be. That's the way our faith is. Nothing can take your faith away from you if you won't let it. Right? It's hard, and it's hard sometimes not to lose faith in some things, but never lose faith in God. I spoke and prayed with a family earlier this morning that going through a very hard time and have been going through it for a long time. And you can just tell that their faith was wavering. And we prayed with them, and it's hard. It's easy for anybody on the outside to say, just have faith. But when you're in the throes of battle, sometimes it's hard to just have faith. Because it's easier said than done. Amen. So, no matter what happens, though, our faith is better than a Timex. Can you say amen? Here's what it says. Simon Peter, a bondservant of the apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith, talking to Christians now, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, let that grace and peace be multiplied to us as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith. And I want you to underline that. These are faith additives, if you will. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours, if they are yours and they abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted. Don't shoot the messenger. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Father, I pray that you bless the reading of your word and give us that which makes preaching easy and effective, the anointing. Give us ears to hear, Lord, that we may hear it, but not just hear it, but apply it to our lives so that we can increase our faith in the name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. Realize that the devil hates your faith. All right, we're going to help me go through these, Broderick, because if I look down at my notes, I'm probably going to preach. Our faith is better than a Timex. Give me my next one. So many things try to disrupt our faith. That's what the devil wants to do, is just disrupt your faith. If he can't completely destroy your faith, if he can just disrupt it. foundational to his fall from heaven is the idea that he lost faith in his Creator. Even though our faith is shaken at times, even though our faith is disrupted, we must understand that behind it all, God is at work. Foundational to faith is belief, trust, and most importantly, relationship. Now, we Pentecostals are real good about saying we need Jesus and all of this, but we think that all we've got to do, especially Pentecostals, and I am one, but we are really bad about all we want to do is throw tongues at everything. We want to speak in as the Spirit gives the utterance, and we want that to be the cure-all for everything. And I believe it is important. I believe we need it. I believe that you ought to seek to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But there are things that we need to add to our faith, and Paul listed those things, what we're to do. So how do we grow in true faith? How do we increase our trust in God? And one of the answers is by adding faith additives. Because I don't care, a good Timex is only as good as its batteries, right? If the batteries run out, so does the functionality of that clock. And there are many times that we start out well, but we're like Paul, you did run well, who did hinder you? You started out good. How many churches do you know? How many people did you know that they started out in the Spirit, but now they're trying to fulfill in the flesh what they began in the Spirit, and it's just not going to happen. What we started in the Spirit, we better be committed to finish in the Spirit, because we've got to remember who we came to the dance with. We came to the dance with the Holy Spirit. We came to the dance with Jesus Christ, and it is by Jesus, Him, that we live, move, and have our very being. It is by Jesus that He was crucified so that I didn't have to be, so that I could live a life. It was He, according to Peter, that gave me everything that I need to live a successful, fulfilling life if I just understand that I'm not just left to my own, but there's some things that I need to add to my initial salvation. We get people saved, but we don't get them discipled. And if all you have is a taste, you won't be satisfied. I don't care how good a steak is. A 1-inch square is not going to fill me up. And so we get a taste of the goodness, but we don't go on to get all of His goodness. We get a taste of His goodness, but we get a sip of the fountain of living water, but we don't go to the river of the living water and drink. I'm telling you that you can trade in your bucket for a river. You can trade in your bucket or your spoon or your ladle for a river that flows from the throne of God that will cause you to have life everlasting, not just in the life to come, but in the life that you and I live in right now. That's good preaching, Pastor. All right, so 1 Peter was writing to those who had obtained faith, verse 1. Come on. Secondly, grace and peace is multiplied when you know God, verse 2. Thirdly, God's power has given us everything we need pertaining to life, verse 4. Fourth, He has given us great and precious promises to help us partake of His nature and to help us overcome worldly lust. He starts a parade, faith leads the band, and love brings up the rear. All right? Now, if these seven things are in you, and they are increasing, I made bold, and they are increasing, you will be fruitful and not barren. But here's what we do. We'll add one, but then we let one slip away. We work on one, but then we'll let the other slip through our fingers. Or we'll work on the one that we like and that is easy, but not on the others that are a little bit more difficult to add. Right? And it's really sometimes, many times, it's according to our mood that day. In the same way, faith without certain spiritual batteries is dead. Faith without the spiritual batteries listed in these verses is dead. So, We could summarize verses 1 through 9. Now, you're not going to find this probably in any version. This is the RGR version of verses 1 through 9. You have faith. Your knowledge of God increases grace and peace. The power of God helps you to live your life in victory. His promises help you to become like Him and to steer clear of worldly ways. Now, because of these things, be diligent. Since you have faith, add the following ingredients. Moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. If these seven things are in you and they are increasing, church, then you will not be barren. It's getting a little warm up here. Hallelujah. I see a few people fanning. Come on, elders, do something. I thought it was just me because I got on. I thought it might be y'all because, you know, I'm wearing a suit on Wednesday night. Y'all thought it might be starchy or something. I don't know. I don't normally wear a suit on Wednesday night. I had a funeral this afternoon. If you lack these qualities, now, once again, don't get mad at me. If you lack these qualities, then the Bible says you're blind and you have left your first love, forgetting the forgiveness that you received at the beginning of your walk with God. And how many knows that happens? It happens because so many of us forget where we came from. You've been in church and you know how to act, but there are plenty of people who have never been to church and don't know how to act. Right? So, what are the faith additives? And I've already given you the seven, but let me talk about them. Let me just hit them real quickly. First of all, I want to structure the rest of this just to talk about this message in very simple format. So, if you have faith, and you do because the Bible says that you can't get saved without a measure of faith. All right, so you have faith. You may go, well, I don't have great faith. Well, let's add this to your faith, and it might help increase your faith, right? All right, so first thing that the Bible tells us to add is moral excellence. Moral excellence. We don't talk about morality anymore. We talk about political correctness. We talk about, well, if it don't hurt anybody, it should be all right. You know, as long as I'm not hurting anybody, then I don't understand what the problem is. Well, because here's the problem. You didn't write the book. Here's the problem. You know, my daughters may say this, well, Dad, I don't see anything wrong with it. And if you live in my house, you know what? You're not the final authority. I'm the final authority. And guess what? You're living in your father's house. Well, but I can leave here. No, you can't. You can't leave your father's house. You might think you can, but you live on the earth, and the Bible said the earth is His and the fullness thereof. So therefore, you live on His earth, and therefore, you got to live by His rules, or you ain't going to live at all. Are you hearing me? You've got to understand that the moral compass is not set by Washington. It's not set by City Hall. It is not set by the United States. It's not set by the White House. It's not set. I'll go one step further. It's not even set by a church, whether they be seeker friendly or not. It is set by the living Word of God. That is your moral compass, and there is no other authority above the Word of God. I'll go one step further. Your moral compass in your home should be set by you. Don't wait for your pastor. Don't wait for the school teachers. Don't wait for the worship leader. Don't wait for school teachers. You be the moral compass of your house. Let them know that, bless God, what was for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm preaching better than you're amening. Since you have a relationship with God, be a person of character. Be a person of character. You remember years ago they used to teach character in school. I just got word I'm not even going to say it. I'm probably going to get some people get upset with me here. But I just in case you don't know what's out there. Do you know that now there is a college credit class at Harvard University? There is a class that you take of how to have anal sex. I told you ain't gonna like it. So You're going to let the educational system teach you what moral compass is? What morals are? Are you going to let the educational system tell you? No, you've got to go back to the Word of God. They used to teach on character, but now they teach you how to do other things. So, well, bless God, I'm telling you that's what's wrong with the school system. No, nothing's changed at my house. See, that's where the problem is. The problem is not that the prayer has been taken out of school. The problem is prayer has been taken out of the home. That's the problem. The problem is not the school system. The problem is the home system. And if you've got to understand that that you've got to have moral excellence. You need to have character in your own life and then let your children see that you are a person of character and then do it in a way, make it so cool that they want to be that way too. Good preaching, Pastor. Since you have a relationship with God, you have character. Character is the reality of who you really are and what you really do. Character. It's who you really are. You know, some people go, well, character is exemplified when the chips are down. No, it's not exemplified. It is just shown who you really are. You know, I was so proud of my oldest daughter. Let me brag for just a minute. In one way I was so proud, in another way I was so terrified. She went to a wedding Sunday up in Ocala, and then she came back by because we had her dog, and she had to get her dog before she went home. And so she was leaving, and over here on the BP, at the BP in the First Baptist Church, she said, I went by, and it was like 10 o'clock. She said, and there was a couple sitting on the bench, but it wasn't like they was out for a stroll. She said, I don't know, Dad, just something pricked me. She said, I drove by, then I drove back by around, then I made another lap, and then I went to McDonald's and got them a meal and got them some coffee, and because it was a little chilly outside. She said, I knew that I couldn't do much, but what I could do, I wanted to do for them. And sure enough, come to find out, they were homeless and they were getting ready to get into the mission the next day, but they didn't have any room for them this day and so forth, so on. And I'm just saying, you cannot mandate those type of things. It is either in you or it is not, but you can develop that in you. But you've got to become cognizant of what God expects out of you. People will either live up to or down to your expectation. Oh, that's good right there. Preacher, I believe I will. So many of you have heard the old quote that goes like this. Your idea is what you wish you were. Your reputation is what people say you are. And your character is what you really are. Your idea is what you wish you were. Your reputation is what people say you are. You know, because here's the deal. You can have a fogged idea of who you are in your own mind. How many of those folks who think they're more than what they are? Don't point up here, I'll come out there. But you know what I'm saying? You know people, man, have you ever met somebody who thinks there's God's gift to women? Yeah, you ever met people who think there's God's gift to humanity, God's gift to men, whatever the case is. I remember I was on a cruise one time and this one guy, he was real obnoxious. He was on my last nerve. I'm trying to relax and he's on my last nerve. And he finally left the area that I was at because we was out on the deck and we was trying to relax and he finally left. And the other guy looked at me and said, how does it feel? I said, excuse me. I don't know this guy. I said, excuse me. He said, I was wondering how did it feel to be so close to the center of the universe? I said, I'll tell you this. It was very annoying. He said, I thought so. I was just checking. But church, if we sow a thought, then we reap an act. And if we sow an act, we reap a habit. And if we sow a habit, we reap character. And if we sow character, we reap a destiny. You got to know, your destiny is going to be made up of your daily routine. Whatever you do daily. I read this. I always read leadership magazines, and I have a subscription to several on the internet and things that I get a email. And one of them said this: the happiest how to be a joyful pastor. I thought, okay, I need to know that. Let me put that in my shepherd's bag. I need to know how to be joyful because I think I'm joyful, but you know, sometimes I'm not. Maybe I don't know. So I looked, and sure enough, it said the most joyful people, or the joyful pastors, and they said are those who have a daily Bible reading, not ritual, but a discipline, and those that spend time with God on a daily basis. I said, okay, but God, I'm pretty close to daily, but sometimes I miss. And so, Lord, you know, but I understand. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I received that, blah, blah, blah. All right. So what I'm trying to tell you is whatever you do on a daily basis, you know, I know what it is to be overweight, and people go, well, I have no idea why I'm overweight. I know exactly why I'm overweight. Because I like Snicker bars. I love things that are not good for me, so I know. But there are some people who have an idea of who they are, but it's not real. The reality is who is your character. And your character is what you really are, okay? So here's what the Bible says. Add to your faith moral character. Secondly, add to your faith knowledge. Add to your faith knowledge. How many remember back in the 70s, 80s, you know, knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. You know, there are some people, I always use it like this. What you don't know can kill you. What you don't know can keep you in bondage. What you don't know can keep you in prison. I love the story my dad tells about this little boy who, back in the Depression, the circus was coming to town, and he went to his dad. He said, Dad, can I have 50 cents to go? I don't know if it was the Depression or 50 cents, but anyway, can I go to the circus for 50 cents? And the dad said, well, son, you know, we don't have 50 cents to spare. So if you can raise 50 cents, then go ahead. So that boy raked yards. He picked pears. He cut grass. He did everything he knew to do for a whole month and a half to save up 50 cents to go to the circus. And there he went, because years ago when they would have the circus come, they would have what they call the circus parade. How many are old enough to remember that? Y'all was going, until I said old enough, y'all went. They would have the circus parade. So this little boy went to the circus parade, and they had the elephants coming down, and they had all the animals coming down, and they had the acrobats coming down, and they did the parade. And the parade was to get everybody excited so that they could go see the circus. And the little boy stood there with his eyes wide open, and there was a man standing beside him. And after it was all said and done, he looked at the man. He said, well, nobody took my 50 cents. And the man said, for what? He said, for the circus. That was the greatest thing I've ever saw. But I don't want to do wrong and not pay. Now this joker said, oh, you just give me the money. But the sad part is not that he got his money taken, is he went home excited and thinking he got a good deal for 50 cents when all he got was the parade. He didn't even get to see the circus. And some of us get a little touch of heaven, and we go home just grinning from ear to ear like we've done something when you didn't even get to see the fullness of who God is. And that's because we don't have the knowledge. See, some people think that coming to Jesus is all what we do is just fall out and shout and jump and buck a little bit. But there's so much more deeper than the manifestations of the Spirit that you and I see. The shouting, the dancing, the jumping, the running and all that. There's a deep water. There's a deep reservoir that wants to flow in your spirit. There's a deep flow that wants you to walk in it so that you won't just give up any length of time, because you need to add the knowledge. Because if you ever get to know who he is, you would never turn your back on him again. If you could ever get to know who he is, the devil wouldn't be able to run roughshod over you any longer. If you'll just get to know who he is. And the only way you're going to do that is through knowledge. Through knowledge. Well, preacher, that's what we're here for. Well, bless the Lord. What do you do on your own? Do you read? Or just do you read everybody else? It's notable that character precedes knowledge. The Bible says, the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. 2 Corinthians 3:6. Now this is not to say that knowledge isn't good, but hear me closely. Knowledge without character doesn't impress God. Because you can know the Bible without knowing Him. Character. We want to know knowledge, but the first thing we wanted to add was moral excellence, character. All right? Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. If you want to keep on ticking for God, you must add knowledge of God to your faith. Because let me tell you something. Once you get to know God, even if you don't know what chapter and verse it is, you can tell what's God and what ain't. Because you get to know the character of God. God wouldn't do that. God wouldn't do that. And so you get to know the character of God. Everybody with me? See, don't tell me that you want to grow in God, love God, serve God, and then not show up or avail yourself to training opportunities. Let me tell you. I've told this story many times. Some of you are bored with it, I know, but I'm going to tell it again anyway. But when I was 18 years of age, the day I graduated from high school, matter of fact, I graduated on June 4th, 1984, at 7 o'clock p.m., but at 2 o'clock, or really at 12 o'clock, my boss at the grocery store I worked for, it was a grocery chain called Greer's Groceries out of in Alabama, a little bit of Florida, Mississippi, and Georgia. And my supervisor called me in. And he said, Ronnie, come into work. I said, I'm graduating tonight. There's no way I'm working. If you got to fire me, fire me. I'm graduating. He said, shut up. Used a few other choice words. Put a tie on and come in because Mr. Williams wants to talk to you, who was the supervisor. So I walked into there. I said, what's this about? He said, just shut up and get here. So I went. And when I went in, I didn't understand. I walked in and there was the boss. There was a couple of other supervisors and the district supervisor, Mr. Williams. And they asked me this question. They said, Ronnie, what do you plan on doing after high school? I said, well, I have no plans other than, you know, right now working here. And they said, okay. So he looks at me and says, what do you need to learn in order to open or close this store? I said, all I need is a set of keys. The supervisor went, what? I said, that's right. All I need is a set of keys. He looked at the manager, and the manager, Emmett Odom, he said, yep, that's right. He said, well, how does he know how to do all these things? He says, in his spare time, he wanted to learn, and so therefore we taught him, and he knows how to open and close the store if he had a set of keys and the combination to the safe. And about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Mr. Williams said, Ronnie, we'd like to offer you the position of the assistant manager of this store if you'd like to take it. Well, I believe I will. Now, why was it? I'll tell you why. Because I was a sharp dresser. No. I'll tell you why. Because I knew how to get close to the right people. No, it wasn't. It's because I had knowledge of how to do things. If you will get knowledge, knowledge is power. God, listen, but you got to have character along with it, not to abuse what you know. How many knows people that are full of useless information? How many sit next to somebody who is full of useless information? So, you know, I told you that story to bring this point home. So don't tell me that you want, you know, oh, Pastor Ronnie, I tell you, I just want to work on my marriage. But you don't ever go to a marriage class. Well, I tell you, Pastor, I just want to know more about Jesus, but you don't ever come to Family Focus Hour. Oh, Pastor, I just want to get close to Jesus. But you never come to prayer meeting. Oh, Pastor, I just want to... But you never study. You never come to training or teaching opportunities. You can't do it. See, I availed myself every time the head cashier or every time the assistant manager, every time the manager said, hey, Ronnie, you want to learn how to do this? Now, let me tell you, they thought that they were getting out of work because I was doing it. They were thinking, well, check this out. I got this little punk doing my work. Well, guess what? This little punk became their boss. And that's the truth. I became the boss of everybody but the store manager. And so because of knowledge, because I took advantage of training opportunities, I took advantage of, if you want to teach, I'm willing to listen. I'm willing to hear it. And so you got to understand that the people that you look up to did not get there by themselves. Somebody sowed into them. They absorbed something from somebody. So don't you think that you're an island by yourself and that you don't need any training and you don't need any knowledge. Yes, you do. For you to become what God wants you to have and what God wants you to be, then you need the knowledge of who you are, of what you can have, who God is, and what He can do in your life. Amen, amen, and amen. All right, here comes the third one. The third thing you need is self-control. Oh, I hate this one. Self-control. Since you have faith, add self-control. You might say, Pastor, I just can't control myself. Can I just say to you, talk to the hand. Because yes, you can control yourself. When you want something bad enough, you can control yourself. Right? When did we begin to swallow that line from the enemy that you can't help it? Well, I can't help it. Yes, you can help it. Well, I have a propensity to go after this. No, you can help it. You can help it. But you gotta have some discipline and you gotta have some word in you. You gotta have something that you want more than what you want that's in front of you. Alright? Now, Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control against things there are no such law. Against, there are no such law. Next time you're tempted to lose control, remember that God has given you the power to walk in self-control, and it is in you already. Do you know what part, you know, and I know some of you don't like to fast. I don't like to fast. Let me rephrase it. Not some of you don't. I don't know anybody who likes to fast, except for those real spiritual people. And I'm not one of them. Oh, Pastor, I just can't wait to fast. Oh, well, bless your heart. You know, I mean, what is it? Monday's maximum assault, and I'm already thinking, oh, man, I'll be hungry all day. How many are glad to hear me say that? Yeah. I'm like, man, I'm telling you right now, this third Monday is coming every week, brother. I'm like, we was at a staff meeting. They said, oh, we got maximum assault coming. I said, didn't we just have maximum assault? Huh. Well, Pastor, God won't honor you with that attitude. You want to bet? Because it's called sacrifice. A sacrifice is something that you want. If you don't want it, then it's not a sacrifice. Right? And I want food. I want a lot of it. I want it all the time. Let's just be real. I love food, and food loves me. Hallelujah. You know, I'm trying to eat healthy, but I'm just telling you right now, there is no thing out there healthy that's good, Kelly. Kelly puts these pictures on Facebook. Oh, look at this. Don't this look so good? No, it looks disgusting. Oh, this is going to be so good. Yeah, you're mistaken. Okay. Blah, 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 blah. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. There are a couple of things that look good. Usually they had to do with chocolate, but anyway. Keep praying. So access self-control and add it to your faith. You know, the Bible said that if we could have self-control, then we could have the city. We could have the city. And let me just tell you, fasting helps you get disciplined. Because you might not think it's a big deal, but the same self-control that it takes to not have that cookie when you want the cookie is the same self-control that when you want something sinful that helps you to go no to it. Oh, Pastor, all we need is Jesus on that. Well, how's that working out for you? You're right. We do need Jesus, but we need to recognize that Jesus put inside of us self-control, so therefore we need to access it. How do you know that? Because I have knowledge. That's why. And I know that He wants us to have self-control. All right, number four. I got to hurry. I'm going to finish this tonight if it kills y'all. Perseverance. Number four. Oh, my ADD just kicked in. Do you know that I saw, I think it was this morning or yesterday or something, that, and I want to know who called these people. If you're here tonight, I want you to know who you are. They have a Guinness Book of World Records for the longest sermon, and they called me. Why? I couldn't believe they had they didn't call me, I'm just kidding. But they do have a category for the longest sermon. But I figured one of y'all probably called them. But anyway. All right, perseverance. Since you have faith, add to it perseverance. Perseverance. It is our faith and our trust in God that helps us to endure under the trial. Right? We've got to stand up under the trial. And it's perseverance that helps us do that. Perseverance. Have you ever seen people who can't take nothing? Yeah. I mean, you know, they get a hangnail, they want to throw their towel in. Oh, Pastor, I stumped my toe. I'm through with this Jesus stuff. You can't do that, man. You got to have perseverance. Perseverance. Well, that's right, Pastor. I'm praying for perseverance. Don't do that. You know how you get perseverance? By persevering. You know how you get patience? By going through stuff. So don't pray that. Because you don't want God if God could just supernaturally download it, fax it to you, good, but that don't happen. God, give me patience. Oh, God, what are you doing? Teaching you patience. That's what He's doing. Charlie Brown is at bat. The prophet Charlie Brown. Strike three. He struck out again. Slumps over on the bench. Rats. I'll never be a big league player. I just don't have it. All my life I've dreamed of playing in the big leagues, but I'll never make it. Lucy turns to console him and says, Charlie Brown, you're thinking too far ahead. You're thinking too far ahead. What you need to do is set yourself more on immediate goals. He looks up, immediate goals. Lucy says, yes. Start with the next inning when you go out to pitch. See if you can walk out on the mound without falling down. Well, Brother Reed, I'll tell you right now, that's just a poor, that's a very poor outlook. No. Sometimes you can't look that far ahead. See, some of you are trying to look, you know, I'll tell you right now, bless God, when me and my spouse, we get married, we're going to serve the Lord, we're going to do great things for God. No, you're looking too far ahead. See what you're going to do this week for God. What you're going to do next week for God. Where are you at right now with God? Try not to fall on your face this week. Right? Let's try not to give in to sin tomorrow. Let's try not to give in to sin the next day. Maybe we're looking too far ahead, right? See, the point of the story, do the next thing. Persevere through the next storm. Hang in there and don't worry about all that is to come. God's grace is sufficient. Number five, he said, add godliness. Godliness is a spirit of reverence, a respect to God in all matters. It's a spirit of reverence and respect to God in all matters. Add godliness. Godliness is not having, you know, if you were raised like I was raised, godliness is not having a PhD hairdo. Pentecostal hairdo. It is not in all the way that you dress. However, I believe that holiness of the heart should reflect a holiness on the outside. But anyway, that's a whole different sermon. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean, if you've been saved for any length of time, you shouldn't look like a hoochie. Or, you know, and we men go, that's right. But y'all also ought not look like a gigolo. Right? Because what is the man version of a hoochie? Somebody help me. Gigolo? All y'all scared. Hey. Come on, Crystal, you young enough. What's the opposite? Player? Okay. Player. That's right. What's a player dress? Purple tie and white shirt? All right, so, have no idea where I'm at. Okay. Godliness understands that God is holy. God understands, you know, and how many people, and I've been to churches this way, I know people this way, that they think godliness is never cracking a smile. That godliness is, you know, don't you laugh. This is God's house. Bless God, don't you laugh. And that's not godliness. The Bible said, laughter doeth good like a medicine. I picture God's house, and you know, which is us right now. I picture God's house with different ethnicities. I picture God's house with different people of different ages, backgrounds and cultures in different places of their life and all getting along and having a good time. I believe that's God's house. And I believe that's what God's house, that's what heaven's going to look like. Listen to me closely. I don't believe there's going to be a quiet side in heaven. There's not going to be a Pentecostal side and a Baptist side and a Presbyterian side and this side and that side. There's some denomination that ain't going to have a side. Pastor, you don't believe that? Yeah, I really do believe that too. Not mainstreams, but anyway. We must add holiness to our faith. Not outward compliance of certain rules, but inward purity of the heart. God, I want to be godly before you. I want to be holy before you because you are holy, right? Leviticus 11:14 says, "For I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourself therefore and be holy, for I am holy." You know, and I've seen people go to the extreme of this. I know a woman, and I won't call her name, but I know a woman that if she is by herself and she burps, she asks the Lord to forgive her. Oh, I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me. I told you, Pentecostals are people of extremes. And I'm being kind. I'm being very kind. Holiness is not an old-fashioned idea. It's a commandment from God for us to be holy. Well, Pastor, what does holy look like? Get in here and find out. What does holiness look like? Get in here and find out. What does holiness look like? Get in your prayer closet and find out. What does holiness look like for you? What does holiness look like for you? Next slide. Number 6, brotherly kindness. Because you have a relationship with God, because you have faith, exercise brotherly kindness to others. Or continue to walk in love toward the brethren. Now, you know, when I start talking about love, we men, we kind of get messed up right there. Because we think of love as, you know, hugging and kissing and, you know, all mushy stuff. But that's not necessarily brotherly kindness. You know, I really believe that men have a little bit of benefit on most women, honestly, when it comes to brotherly kindness, because we know how to be kind to our brothers without us even knowing them, but women struggle with that. What do you mean by that? You go to any park and you can get a pickup game of basketball and don't know anybody. Hey man, you want to play? Hey dude. You want to, or you know, hey, can I get in this game? But you let any group of women go shopping and let another woman go, hey, can I get in that group? Can I go shopping with y'all? And he'd be like, what? You weirdo. Right? Isn't that the truth? You know, but men, we have a little bit better than that. Your first night back and you're starting. It's... All right, so often we judge one another and act in ways inconsistent to Christian life. We often abuse one another knowing that they have to forgive us. You ever done that? Well, they'll just get over it. They got to forgive me. They're Christian. Yeah. Last one, love. Add this to your faith, love. I'm not talking about sloppy agape. I'm not talking about just sloppy love. You know, I'm talking about just love. The hate, you know. You know, I've got a brother. I've got several brothers. But my one brother I've really been trying to minister to and witness to, you know, he's an ex-Marine. And he doesn't do well with love and stuff. So I was praying for him today, and the Lord gave me a word for him. So I texted him and just gave him words. Hey, man, I just want you to know I love you. Love you, bro. And, you know, and so he texted back and said, hey, you know, really appreciate that. And I love you too. And I thought, all right, I'm breaking him down. You got to understand that the love is the highest form of love. It is agape love, not sloppy agape, but agape love. Love that doesn't add requirements to it. Love that doesn't add requirements to it. Love that says, I love you and there ain't nothing you can do about it. That's some agape love right there. Well, I don't like you. I don't care. I love you. I don't even want to be around you. So, I still love you. Get out of my face. I will, but I'll be over here out of your face loving you. Right? Faith and love go hand in hand. You can't say you have faith and not love anybody. You can't say I have faith but you don't love what God created. In order to really increase your faith, you need to love what God loves. And let me tell you what God loves. God loves the people He created, you and I. But Pastor, you don't know the people. Oh yeah, I do. And I love them. Sometimes I just love not being around them. Right? All right. We need to add these seven things to our faith if we're to take the licking and keep on ticking. I close this writing from one theologian. I don't know if I have it. Do I have it? Yeah, I think I do. Do I have anything else, Roderick? Yeah. Character without faith is cheap veneer. And I apologize. I realized about halfway through this message, I didn't have this on YouVersion tonight. I had it last week, and I knew it wouldn't be there tonight, but I just didn't think about it. Self-control without faith is straining unnecessary. Wait a minute, go back. I think I missed one. Go back. Shift. There you go. Character without faith is cheap veneer. Knowledge without faith is useless information. That's what one theologian wrote. Character without faith is cheap veneer. Knowledge without faith is useless information. Self-control without faith is straining unnecessarily. Perseverance without faith is empty at the end. Godliness without faith is mere religion. Godliness without faith is mere religion. Brotherly kindness without faith is self-serving. Love without faith is not true love. Just stand to your feet. Would you slip up your hand to Him? Father, I thank You for Your word. Lord, we're to take a licking and keep on taking. God, I pray that you would help us to add these additives to our faith. Lord, with the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, Paul said, if I speak with tongues of men and of angels but do not have love, I've become a noisy gong clanging cymbal. Lord, you said, if I have the gift of prophecy and knowledge of all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. Lord, I pray that we would add these additives, if you will, to our faith. God, help us to add moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. That we may be fruitful, so that we may be not barren, but fruitful. In every area of our life. God, I pray that in the next just few moments, would you just illuminate to each one of us in your own way, Lord, the areas where we lack. Because God, I know that in this day that we live, our faith will be tested, and the faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. I know that it will be tested. I know that it will be. But in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would do a work that only you can do in my life and in the lives of these individuals, families. I bless your name tonight. I praise you and I glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me tell you one quick story and we're done. I wanted to share with you, Pastor John shared with me, there was somebody who sent some money in for us to do some Christmas boxes. So Pastor John went to get some things, and their middle school project that we're doing, they stuffed the boxes today. And he said that he went and he had a bunch of things in the buggy, and the lady in front of him asked him, "My Lord, what are you doing with all that?" And so Pastor John told her, and she said, "Oh, our church is doing some of that too." So they were in line when this was going on, and the lady in front of him heard what Pastor John was doing. So she moved out of the way and to let the lady get done. And when she did, the lady that overheard came over to John and gave 20 bucks and said, "Would you do a box for me?" And then the lady who was in the line came back and gave him another $10 and said, "Would you do a box for me? We love what you guys are doing." And so see, man, it starts like that. People don't know how, or people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Amen. So this Sunday's our last Sunday, right? Yep, because it's leaving the 17th. Will we have next Wednesday night? Is that next? No, that'd be Monday. The last one. Okay. All right. So this Sunday, make sure we bring them out. Let's blow this place out. We're going to pray over them and believe God that they're going to find their mark. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed tonight. Love on each other.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m., and again in the evening at 6 p.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.